That's true. Let's go down to the second column of this. The second chart. I mean, not second column, the second chart. You know what I mean? The second chart on the same page? Okay. First column. Aich. What is Aich? What's the Pratyahara Aich?
Well, the I and
Aich.
All the vowels except I.
Diphthongs.
Diphthongs. No, that's H.
What did I say? I meant H. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry. My problem. I just... see where it says H there?
Yeah.
I said H by mistake. I meant H.
Okay. So all the diphthongs.
I meant H. Okay? So diphthongs.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
A plus U is A. Diphthong means two simple vowels coming together. It's a combined letter. Okay? If you go to the next column... So that U plus E is A, U plus I is I. U plus A is I.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you? U plus E is A, U plus A is I. What type of letter is it? Kantatalu. Kantatalu. What is Kantatalu? Guttural palatal. Okay. Next one. Next one. A plus U is O. Okay. A plus O is Ao. What type of letter? Kantoshta. What's Kantoshta? Okay. So you have to know that. Look below. There's something I want to teach you here. You see where it says Aid Aidoho Aid Aidoho Kantatalu O Dao Toho Kantoshtam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you something. This is something else that we'll be seeing sutras for, but just to give you a little head start. If I say 8, eight, okay? 8, eight, eight, out. You see the ta there?
Mm-hmm.
If you see that, you see that? The ta becomes da because of the following vowel.
Mm-hmm.
A, di, toho. Kanta talu for, toho is the genitive case. For eight, a and I. What I want to point out here is this ta. You see the ta? What does the ta mean? Nothing that you know.
Oh, it's a pretend it letter.
It is an it letter, which means that letter alone. If I were to say, for instance, if I were to say, this is where you'll really understand it. If I were to say, at or ot, the or it, where I'm using this as not an it letter, but as an but as a, not for the word it. Maybe I won't use that one. So I won't confuse you. Or what if I said, oot? If a vowel is marked by takara,
uh-huh.
Is takara as an it letter, it means only that letter alone.
Mm.
Not, if I have ut marked by it is takara, then it stands for only the
Only the letter before it.
Yeah, only that. Not not ah. Not, I think this is how you do the puta, actually. Right.
Okay.
Not anything else. Only the letter that's written there.
So why
the short,
did you destroy the letter?
Because, why? Tell me. Why?
With the A, so for rules, for saying, you know, instead of saying...
Because you don't want all the other 17.
Yeah.
You don't want to use all of the other letters that A stands for. Like, for instance, that's why I use this just to make it really clear. If I were to say... this is really a makeshift deal here. Okay, look. If I were to say... The letter as in I un say.
Eighteen forms.
But if I say ut or eat or oot, only that letter, only that link, the one mantra.
I see. And this is just specific to Panini, right? Like
yes. So only for Panini.
Okay.
Yeah. Panini.
So Takarumi is not the other 18 forms.
That's right. Only itself. I'll show you, we'll be doing a sutra for that, but since we're reading that, if you see a letter marked, has an it letter of a takara, mm-hmm. you know, that means that it stands only for that mantra, okay? Only for that length. Hraswa Dirga Pluta, only the Hraswa.
Okay, so you could even have something like ah, which would be ah.
Yes, and we'll see that. There's going to be that. Vridira Daich. Is a sutra. Vridhi letter is for ah and aich. Right? So that's what that da is there. So here, look at all they're doing here is saying a dai toho for a and I kantatalu. O dao toho for o and ao kantoshtam. See in the inside, this is the Hindi Sandhi swara. These diphthongs, sandhi means they're combined swaras or vowels. The sandhi is combined. Combined. Right? They've combined vowels. A diphthong, what are the combinations? Combination. Okay? We just call them diphthongs. Everybody okay? Go to the next chart. These are the pranas. They're also a bahyantra, but ulpa prana. Bahyapriyatna, I mean, bahyapriyatna. Ulpa prana. What does ulpa prana mean? Non-aspirates, right? Small aspiration, non-aspirates. What's maha prana? Aspirates. So now look, what is, look at these pratyaharas. What is yin? Semi-vowels. What is nyam?
Nasals.
Everybody fine? I want everybody to see that it's nasals. What is jesh? Soft unaspirates, third letters, chai. Hard first. First letters, right? Hard unaspirates. Ka, pa, cha, ta, right? Ka, ka, pa, cha, ta, tev. Ka, pai. If I went ka, pa, cha, ta, cha, ta, tev, ka, pai, chai is cha, ta, tra-ta-ta, kapai. So everybody see that on there? Chai? Okay. Soft unaspirate, I mean hard unaspirates. What about... Okay, so how many are there? 19, just for your information. So these are very common. Yan, nyam, mm-hmm. jush, chai. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's look at the mahaprana. What is jush? Soft aspirate, jabanj, karadash. Jabanj, karadash. Okay? Jesh is the fourth letters. Now look at, they put for ka, for the hard consonants, ka, pa, cha, ta, 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 there's no pratyahara for it. Do you see? But they just use ka as a marker for that. Ka, pa, cha, ta, ta. But pika has no pratyahara.
That's an odd.
Well, there's a reason.
It is kind of odd. They could do it. They could have ka, pa, cha, ta, ta. They could have had a you know, an it matter after that, but they don't. So, must be a reason. Maybe never needs to use it. I don't know. I don't know why.
The Dumaru didn't.
It didn't keep that one out. Exactly. Okay.
So when you see, so say again, when you see ka.
No, it's just, that's just a convention that this guy made up. What you have to know is that for, he just put ka there and then ka pa cha ta ta. Everybody should know that there's no pratyahara for it.
Mm.
It's not that ka by itself stands for the whole group.
Okay.
All right. Then shul, what is shul? All the siblings with ha. All the siblings including ha or mahaprana. Okay? Are what? Aspirates. Mahaprana, aspirate. Upaprana, non-aspirate. There's 14 of them. Everybody see it? So, I mean, what I think is like with these charts, you should just practice writing them out yourself.
Mm, right. Mm-hmm.
Get really familiar with them because it'll bless you. You know, just like when I'm teaching Sanskrit without Panini, I always say, you know, learn the alphabet in that form that we gave it to you. Learn it backwards and forwards because without it, you're hung up later on.
Mm.
Like that with Panini, without this understanding, it'll get in your way, right? Okay, what is next for us? The next thing I want you to look at is the Supratyaya. Everybody have this? It says the cases, eight in number.
See, Uma and I thought we escaped this. No, here it is.
So now I've added something to it. Torture you. No, this is really, actually, it's just so ingenious. You'll love it, actually. Does everybody have it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain this. Do you have it?
I do have it. Just not sure where at the moment.
How do you know that you have it?
Because I think
you passed it out?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Put it in my binder, so okay, please, go with it.
There might be another, this is like an extra stack. I don't know if it's in there or not.
I think I took it out of there.
Oh, you
took it. Here's one. Everybody have now? Everybody have this? Okay. There's a sutra, which I haven't written on here. You don't really need it, but just to... Adam. That's a sutra. See this letter soup? Letter ting? The word ting?
Ting.
The word antham? Padama. A pada is a word. A word. Okay? A word that we can use in a sentence. A word that we can use in a sentence is going to antham end in soup or ting. We're interested in soup right now. Soup means the nominal, the vibhaktis, the nominal endings. Like if I have the prakriti or the substantive Rama, we can't use that in a sentence. We have to put Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha. We have to decline it. We have to put endings on it.
I'm sorry, I'm going to sit here. I can't see it from there.
Oh, I can move over some people.
Okay, I'll just sit here.
I'm sorry.
No, no, but sure, this is good. Don't worry. I'm great. So, sure, this is good.
Can you see?
Yeah.
Okay. In order for something to function as a noun in a sentence, you have to decline it. Even to make it indeclinable, you're still putting something on it to make it indeclinable. Okay? So for now, when I decline a noun, Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, nominative case, what if I take, I'll take Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramau, Ramam, etc. Those are what we call soup endings. Okay? Those declensional endings that you put onto a noun are technically called soup. Okay? Mm-hmm. The endings that I put onto a verb are technically called ting. Mm-hmm. There's some it letters here that we're going to see in a minute. Okay? So a word is something that ends in soup or ting. Mm-hmm. Soup are the endings that you put onto a noun. Ting are the endings you put onto a verb. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that is going to make a pada. A pada means a word. Okay? So soup ting antam padam. We're going to be seeing the sutra later on. But why I'm even talking about it right now is because if you look here where it says soup pratyaha, pratyaha means an affix. The soup affix is soup pratyaha. You could actually say, you should say soup, there's a, that's a typo. It should say soup pratyaha. Pratyaha, the soup affixes. Or vibhaktiyaha. Or the vibhaktis. So we could say, you know, when you're learning how to decline a noun, we say these are the vibhaktis. These are the case affixes. You know, when we say vibhaktis, that's often translated the vibhakti. Vibhaktiya has in the plural. When we say vibhakti, we usually mean case affix, like rama, ramau, ramaha, those endings that we put on. Okay? Those case affixes are called vibhaktis or supratyaha or supratyas. The word pratyaya, see that word there? Pratyaya mm-hmm. means affix. So the sup affixes. Okay?
I don't know what an affix is.
An affix, let me explain what an affix is.
Okay, Carol, before you read that, can you translate the sentence?
A pada, a word.
The entire sentence means that a word must end in.
A word. Which ends? In soup or ting.
Okay.
A word, a pada, antam, which ends in soup or ting. Soup ting antam padam. Okay? A word is that which, I would say like this. A word, a pada, is that which ends in soup or ting. Okay? We're looking at soup right now. The soup endings, an affix, or pratyaya is something that is put on to a prakriti or a raw word. Like, for instance, say if you're learning a vocabulary list and you learn the word ashwa. Mm-hmm. Ashwa means horse. You learn it, it's a masculine noun meaning horse. Say you learn another word like dasi. Dasi is a feminine meaning maidservant. Dasi. Say you learn palam. Pala. That's a neuter word meaning fruit. Okay? So now you have your vocabulary list. These words, in order to use them in a sentence, you have to add an affix, an ending. Something that, a pratyaya is an affix, something that will be added to the word to make it useful in the sentence. So, for instance, an example of an affix to ashwa, which just means horse, you can't use this word in the sentence. To use it in the sentence, it needs a pratyaya or an affix. Affix means something that is added on to the word. So, an affix for ashwa, say if I wanted to say one horse, it would be, I would add the sarga, ashwaha. Two horses. Yeah, etc. I have to add two horses. Ashwa. I have to add something on it to make it useful. What I add on is a pratyaya. It's called a pratyaya, an affix.
And then what's the soup?
I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry.
So far for affix, mm-hmm. pratyaya, it's something that I'm going to add on to a word to make it useful. Another example was say if I have the word put, which means to fall. But this is a dhatu. It's just a dhatu. Dhatu means it's a verbal root. That's all it is. You can't use it in a sentence. To use it in a sentence, I have to add an affix. I have to add something to it. So say if I want the present tense, I would go patati, he falls, or patati, you fall, etc. I'm adding an affix, a pratyaya, onto the dhatu, onto the root word. So that's what we mean by a pratyaya. It's something that's going to be added onto. Okay? Get it?
Yeah, I have a basic question. Is a verbal root only dhatu. The base form for a verb, but not for
no.
a noun?
The dhatu, the dhatu.
So dasi is also dhatu?
No, no. The dasi has already taken some krit pratyaya to become a noun.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the, that's getting a little deeper than I want to go right now,
okay.
But just very briefly. Okay? The dhatu is the root word. The root word can go into making a noun
right.
or a verb. Okay?
Right.
When we make the verb, we're going to be using the dhatu itself.
Mm.
Like, the verb is going to, we'll go right back to the dhatu.
Uh-huh.
And then to the dhatu, we'll add on the ting endings. But for a noun, in order to make a noun off of the dhatu,
uh-huh.
like for instance, if I have the dhatu, the verbal root, bud.
Mm-hmm.
I could say bodhati, just adding the ting right onto bud. Right? It would be bud plus plus ti.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole series of things. Then because bodhati, we point right up of this. You know that for some of you who know, not all of you know this, bud is a first gana parasamapada root. Okay? That means that the penultimate vowel takes O, and it adds a gutta sign, a, plus the ting ending T. So as a verb, we have Buddha T. Okay? He knows. He or she knows. But if I'm going to make a noun off of this, I have to apply what we call crit affixes, a whole different series of affixes. One affix, forget the it letter that goes to it, but it makes bud, take guna, and add an a, and you get bodha, bodha, forming a masculine noun. Now this has become a masculine noun.
Okay.
Once it becomes a noun, because of affixes I've had to put onto it, I can then add these soup endings. Okay? If you didn't get this, don't bother.
Okay.
If you got it, they're fine.
So there's another little procedure to make it useful, to enable it to be a noun, which can then be...
That's right.
Right.
Dhatus are the root, the little root words that are used. They're the basic building blocks of Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
And those dhatus, those roots, through the adding of affixes, or pratyayas and affixes, form nouns and verbs. Okay. And so these pratyayas, there's hundreds of them, they get put on to make a noun or a verb. They have what's called a dhatupata.
Mm-hmm.
A dhatupata is a list of all of the verbal roots that there are. All of the roots that there are, that we use.
About 2,200.
Yeah. People will memorize those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, but we're getting a little deeper than I think is helpful at the moment. Soup. Go back to soup. What is soup? Vibhaktis. What are vibhaktis? They're the affixes that are added to nouns in order to make them useful in a sentence, to make the noun into a pada, a word that can be used in a sentence. These are them. Okay? For those of you who have been taking Sanskrit for a while, you've learned not these raw endings, but you've learned like Ramaha, Rama, Ramaha, Harihi, Harihi, Hariyaha, etc. Guruhu, Guru, Guruvaha. You've learned these, memorized them. What I want to show you now is some technical terms for these soup. But the first thing is to understand why, what soup means. What soup means. Mm-hmm. Okay. Soup is a pratyahara.
Oh.
It's a pratyahara. Hmm. I want you now to look. See where it says prathama?
Right.
The first ekavachanam. Ekavachanam at the very top there means singular. Dvivachanam, dual. Bahuvachanam, many. Plural. Singular, dual, plural. One person, two, three or more. One, two, or many. So if I want to say something, in Sanskrit you have singular, dual, plural, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ekavachanam, eka means one. Dvi means two. A word for one. Speaking for one. Dvi, speaking for two. Bahu, many. Okay? So now, you see where it says prathama? In Sanskrit, how you've learned it usually is nominative, accusative, but now we have to add something. We have to do it in a way that's often referred to in Panini. Prathama. Prathama means first. So the first case is the nominative. The prathama vibhakti. Prathama, it's at that long os because vibhakti is feminine. So if we said prathama vibhaktihi, that's the nominative case. Okay? Go down. Dvitiya vibhakti. The second case, the dvitiya vibhaktihi. Dvitiya means second. The second case is the accusative case. Tritiya. Tritiya vibhakti, the third case, instrumental. Oops, chaturthi. R missing. Chaturthi. Put an R like this. Chaturthi.
What?
Chaturthi.
The R is missing over there.
Okay.
Chaturthi. This R is missing. It's not chaturthi. Chaturthi. Chaturthi vibhakti, fourth case, is the another way of saying dative. Panchami, ablative.
Fifth case.
Shashti, genitive, sixth. Septami, locative, seventh. Okay? Everybody see that? So it's a way of learning your numbers. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And then sambodhana. It's actually sometimes just called sambodhana.
Mm-hmm.
It means the vocative. It's also called sambodhana prathama. Sometimes you'll see it like this. Usually just as sambodhana. Sometimes you'll see sambodhana prathama with a dash like that. Sometimes you'll see. If sambodhana, it's always the same, you know. For the most part, will be the same. Sometimes in the ekavachanam, it's going to be a little different, but it'll be the same as the prathama. And the sambodhana is the address to a hey so-and-so. Hey, Hari, you know. Okay, sambodhana. So you have to learn in your mind, for prathama is nominative, dvitiya. Because a lot of times, even when Swamiji is talking, he'll never say, accusative or nominative, you'll only say prathama, or tritiya, or septami.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You'll only refer to it in that way. Okay?
So is vibhakti another word for super-affects?
The vibhaktis is a word for the nominative affixes. Yes. And so the soup affixes are also called vibhaktis, the case affixes. So yes. The vibhaktis, these are the vibhaktis, which are soup. That's right. Okay? Very okay?
But the endings on a verb are not called vibhaktis.
Conjugations, that's why I said soup.
Declensions.
Declensions, right. So for soup, the vibhaktis are good for soup.
Okay. And what's soup again?
And that's what we're going to do right now.
Oh, okay.
Look at the nominative ekavachanam. Prathama ekavachanam. What is it?
Soup.
Okay. In the parenthesis, the su is the word that has an it letter. This is an ending that has an it letter attached to it.
sue. In usage, the ending will be is. Okay. In usage, the one in parentheses is what will be. What will it be in actual usage when you actually put it onto the word? But it has an it letter oo that is going to tell you certain things in certain contexts. The actual affix is is. So if I take the oo off of is, what do I have? Is. The it letter is always going to go away. The it letter will tell you something. It conveys something. So there'll be any little affix or any word that has an oo attached to it as an it letter, right, in a certain environment, will have a rule attached to it. Mm-hmm. So now all I want you to know is that to this is, there's an it letter, and it's su. It's oo.
That can get confusing because if the ending was cool, go, then you would think cool is go, 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 go.
Well, it has to be in context, right? But you're right. But there would, in that group, there wouldn't be no su, right? So there's no problem there.
Right, if it's the second column. Mm-hmm. Then
I want you to do something else. Go down to the sum the septimi. Right, the septimi bahuvachanam. Soup.
What?
The septimi?
Locative.
Yes. Septimi bahuvachanam. Plural. Soup. Okay? You see it? Septimi is locative. Go over to the third column where it says soup, su. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Soup is everything.
Soup is everything. If I start with soup, it's every. It's this last thing, but it's also everything. Because if I start here at su, if I start at the nominative, just remember the I, you, ru, it, okay, ru, it. If I start at su and go down to the last it letter, su, not counting the sambodhana. Sambodhana is really part of pratama.
Okay.
Go down to soup. So if I start with the su, all the way to soup. And I make a pratyahara of sorts, soup.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to include all of these endings. This is an it letter, right? This is an it letter.
Mm-hmm.
So if I start with
soup, how do I know the pa and the u are it letters?
I have to teach you. And there's what they call pratibhasha. Paribhasha sutras that define all of these things. But right now, I'm just trying to make you kind of appreciate something here. It might be too much, but I don't think so.
And all these notations, these short forms, are also part of Pani?
Yes. They're not at the Maheshwara sutras.
But part of Pani.
Oh, yeah. Because remember the sutra I wrote on the board? That's a Panini sutra.
Mm.
Suttingam Pimpadam.
So it's all of the bhakti except for the vakative.
Yeah, the vakatives are also included, but they're included as part of the pratama.
Because of the relationship.
Yeah.
First meet.
That's right, yeah. Let's go over this. Look at the nominative case. The endings are, if I give the it letters, su au jus. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Su au jus. In the parentheses, I'm removing the it letters.
Mm-hmm.
Is au us. So that means in the first one, u is an it letter. Su. If I remove that it letter, I have is. Su, right? Au has no it letter on it. It stays the same. Jus. The ja is an it letter. The ending is us. Go to the second line.
Wait a minute. How come that ja is on the beginning and it's an it letter?
It doesn't have to be on the end.
There's new information.
It letters in the Maheshwara Sutras are only at the end.
Uh-huh.
But it letters don't have to be at the end. They can be at the end or at the beginning.
Oh, Lord, tell us that. You're holding on.
That's why you have to ask me, because I don't think of all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell you a function. Let's look at the next line. Out, shus. What are the it letters?
Doesn't have an it letter.
Mm-hmm.
Ka
and sha are it letters.
Whoa.
Okay. Ka, pyam, pis. What are the it letters?
Ka.
Just the ta, right? The takara. Nye, pyam, bhyas. Just the A, right? The na, that's all. Nyasi, pyam, bhyas. Na and E.
So Nyasi. Beginning and end?
Yeah. They can be beginning and end.
You're making our heads explode. And okay, so the only time an it letter is an ending letter is in the Maheshwara Sutra. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I said was in the Maheshwara Sutras, in those use of those it letters for the Maheshwara Sutras, they only come at the end. Ayun, Erlik, Aung, Ayal. But it letters are much broader in application than just the Maheshwara Sutras. The it letters will be like, for instance, you see in the tritiya, in the instrumental, there's a ta that's an it letter. There's a taki tau, there's a particular sutra for that that says when you see a ta, in that it letter you do this. When you see...
Can it be buried in the middle of a word or an affix?
It won't be buried in the middle.
It'll be the front or the end.
Yeah.
Or both simultaneously, but in all cases, it letters are to be dropped.
Yes, in all cases, once all they do is tell you, they have a little rule attached to them. Oh, there's a ta, therefore it goes before, after, whatever. Mm-hmm. They'll have a little rule attached to it. But the it letters are always going to be dropped, right? Usually, the it letter will come at the end. Okay, usually, but not always. Here's an example, ta. Mm-hmm. Nye, nyasi. Okay? You see nyasi? I write there exactly what is the actual ending is us. So that means that nga is an it letter and the e is an it letter. Pyam, bhyas, no it letter. What about the genitive, the shrishti? Nyas.
No.
Yeah. No. Os and om, nothing. Ni. The ending is E, so just na is an it letter. Os, soup. What about soup? Yeah, that's all, because the ending is soup, right? You see that? So now,
how are we going to know what their it letters if they're really there, if it's not indicated? Because we're going to learn the rules for it.
That's right.
So we will know because we're going to learn the specific rules.
You're going to learn the specific rules, but here in this chart, I did this chart so that you could see these it letters. Because actually, like when I learned these, I learned like this, su au jes, au shus, au shus. I learned them with the it letters, right? You don't have to learn them with the it letters, but you have to know what they are, what part of speech they are and all that. Right now, it's just an exercise for you to be able to see these. Now, what would soup, if I say soup, what could soup mean?
All
of the vibhaktis, right. Or just the locative singular. Right? Just like hull is just by itself, or hull means all of the consonants. This is similar. So su stands for the first, the ekavachanam, the prathama ekavachanam, right, which is su, and then the septami, right, the seventh, bahuvachanam is soup. So the pratyahara soup can either stand for all of the vibhaktis, or they can stand just for the locative, the septami.
All vibhaktis except sambodhanam.
Yeah, Sambodhana is included in the practice. Okay, functions. Okay. I wouldn't worry too much about this. What I want, well, let me tell you what I want. I want you to know that Sukh is a pratyahara that stands for all of the bhakti endings. That's what you need to know. Sukh is a pratyahara for the vibhakti endings. Let me tell you something else interesting. You know how you've learned any nouns that end in a, and in a, and in e, and in a consonant? So many different nouns, and you've learned them all as different vibhakti endings. Like the masculine a is different than the e and the u.
Mm-hmm.
These are the only endings, this set of endings. These endings are applied to all, but there will be sutras that say, for the masculine and neuter ta, right? The instrument of ta goes to ina.
So that's the point of having this, okay?
Yeah.
So that you can apply a rule.
Yeah. These are the vibhakti endings, the only vibhakti endings.
Mm.
But these vibhakti endings go through modifications when they're added on, especially to nouns ending in vowels. For the most part, when they're added on to nouns beginning ending with consonants, nouns ending with vowels, when they're added on to nouns that end with vowels like Rama, Hari, Guru, you know, there's so many, you know, Tenu, so many nouns that end in vowels. When these affixes are added, they actually go through modifications to be added on. Like in Rama, you don't add ta. It's Ramena. So you would learn, if we ever did all of the sutras involved in doing these vibhaktis, you would see all of these modifications. We'll probably never do it because it's too complicated. All of the rules, making all of these changes, there's 1,000 of them, and it's easier, in fact, just to memorize the changes they go through. So it's a waste of time. It's not very helpful. But it is helpful to know that these are the major endings, because these endings are what are added on to all consonant-ending nouns, right? And to kind of understand that this is the base set of endings that go on to nouns is a helpful thing to know. So right now, what do I want you to know? That soup stands for the vibhakti endings. Okay? The other thing I want you to memorize is these words, prathama, dvitiya, tritiya, all the way down. Okay, for everybody? So that if I say, because later what we're going to do next, well, I'll be using words like shashti, pratama, dvitiya. I'll be using these words, and when we read in the Panini Sutras, we'll be using these words a lot.
I can't help but to notice that ting is probably a pratyahara.
Ting is a pratyaya, ti, taha, and ti.
Yeah.
So there's also a, we'll do that when we do verbs. There's also a one group of affixes for verbs that go through modifications to become all of the different ones.
That's great.
Yeah. So soup is for nouns.
Mm-hmm.
Ting is for verbs. Okay. Yeah. So these terminologies, what soup means, what pratyaya means as an affix, what vibhakti means, ekavachanam, dvivachanam, bahuvachanam, the prathama, all of that. And then let's just read through the next, and I'll explain it next week, this list on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This will be very useful continue on, so I just want you to look at them. Karta. Karta is the agent of a sentence. Usually put in the pratama. Usually the karta, the boy hits the ball, the karta, the doer of the verb. Usually it's in the nominative. Sometimes it's in the tritiya, in passive voice.
Mm.
The ball is hit by the boy. The boy is still the agent of the action. So the karta means the agent, the one who's doing the action. Karma is the object. The boy hits the ball. The object of the action is the karma. karanam. So the karma is usually put in the dvitiya, the boy hits the ball. Sometimes it's in the pratama. The ball is hit by the boy. In the passive, it goes into the pratama. We'll see all of that, but just so you know what karma means, the object of the action. Whether I say like this, the boy hits the ball, or the ball is hit by the boy, right? Ball is still the object of the action, whether it's an active voice, the boy hits the ball, or passive voice, the ball is hit by the boy. Okay? Karana is the instrument of the action. The boy hits the ball with a bat. I drive to town by car. So the instrument of the action is the karanam. The sampradanam. Sampradanam is the sense, it's the name for the sense of the dative case. It means the one who is receiving the gift. Like I give, like for instance, so it's the recipient of the action. Like say if I give the book to the child. Who's receiving the book? The book is the object of giving. I'm giving the book. But who am I giving it to?
So is this related to sampradaya then also?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Is it?
That which is given, passed down. I'd have to look that.
Same thing about love and anger. Is that true? Remember? Oh, never mind. Go ahead. Excuse me.
That's usually put in the locative.
No. You said recipient of the action and also the recipient of love or anger. Wasn't there something about strong emotion?
I'll have to check. Sorry, it's not ringing a bell. Panchami.
Okay.
Appletive. That's apadanam. Sense of the appletive case. Oop, typo. Adhikaranam. Sense of the locative case. The adhikaranam is the location, the locus, where the action is happening. So these are just technical words,
it's like
right?
Adhikaranam.
Yeah. The adhikaranam. That's the place, the location. The apadanam. Apadanam is just, think of it as the sense of the ablative case. If you look it up in the dictionary, that's what it'll say. The place from where septing is. It comes from that, right? The place from where it comes. So these words are also used. Karita, karma, karanam, sampradanam, apadanam, adhikaranam. But you can't say, you can't just take it as a synonym for pratama, right? Because like karta is not a synonym for pratama. The karta, the agent, can be in the pratama or the tritiya. The karma, the object, can be put in the pratama or the dvitiya. You see, the karanam also is usually only instrumental. The sampradanam is usually only in the data. Sometimes it'll be in the genitive of it. We'll see that. And notice there's no special word for genitive. Shashti. The shashti. No special word. Because the shashti, all of these words, or do you see the last word, kriya? Kriya means the verb. All of these are related to the verb. I'm going to go into a lot more depth on this. But all of these words here are related to the kriya, to the verb. Shashti is not related to the verb. Shashti is related to another noun, right? Like Rama's book, the book of Rama. The sixth case, it shows possession. Doesn't relate to the verb. It relates to the noun. So these words all relate only to the verb. I'm going to have another different type of graph for you. But for now, if you can just read these over and become used to these words, that's what I want. I want you to become used to these words. You don't have to, I don't expect you right now to be memorizing these. I want you to know that the vibhaktis, the case affixes, are called soup pratyas. And why that is, because the first one is a su and the last one is a soup, right? You have to know why that is. You need to know the word vibhakti, pratama, dvitiya, tritiya. You need to know those words. These words, karta, karma, karana, sambodhanam, apadanam, those words to become familiar with, okay? Right now, all we're doing is getting used to some of the words that we're using to understand. Is everybody okay? Penny?
Yeah, it's just a lot of information to have at our fingertips. That's fine.
I would look at it like this. You're not going, I wouldn't imagine that you would get these at your fingertips so that you could just rattle them off right away. like by next week. I don't think so, unless you're really studying a lot, you know, or if you already have quite a bit of Sanskrit, then maybe yes. But if you take the pages that we went over and read them over and over so that you have familiarity. Familiar. Say it.
Familiarity.
Okay. I like the way I say it. I'm just going to keep it because I can't change it. I can never remember the right way to say it. Okay, so now, so if you can just don't get hyper about it, just study these pages so that you're familiar.
Familiar.
Familiar. Okay, everybody, let's say our prayer. Purnamidam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha, Hari Om.